The following is a production of Shark Flight Media.
Now entering the nexus of geekery and guy world in 3, 2, 1, mark.
Do you know what the secret of life is? One thing. Just one thing.
You know, that's just like your opinion, man.
This is the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast, an election day edition, as it were. Thing is, we're not going to talk about the election because American politics in 2022 suck. And we are the antithesis of suckage on the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast. You know what else doesn't suck? Chris Kennedy Publishing. They present this fine program and they are awesome sauce. Go check them out. ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. I'm watching Kevin Steverson absolutely lose it down here in the corner. They are message-free sci-fi with a slice of fantasy, and boy, have they got you covered for everything you want in this literary world, folks. Science fiction, space opera, military science fiction, paranormal romance, urban fantasy, post-apoc, non-fiction stuff with The Craft. Like, they have got it all. Again, ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. Make sure you go over there and check them out if you have not already. Sign up for the mailing list and get yourself a free ebook while you're there. Another group I do want to say thanks to and shout out to that's been along for the ride with us for quite a while now is the International Association of Science Fiction and Fantasy Authors. Make sure you go check them out too at IASFA.org. If you're a writer, man, you got community there galore. So go meet people, interact with your peers and your colleagues, learn some stuff. If you're a reader, they got stuff going on all the time, namely in November. How about a big, giant YA urban fantasy giveaway? IASFA.org. Go check it out. Sign up for the mailing list. Learn all about it. Get you some free books. I mean, for crap's sake, man, when your grocery bill's up about 40% than what it should be, free books, they are your friend. So in any event, let's welcome in my guys, Kevin Steverson, Rob Howell. How are we doing this fine evening, gents?
We're doing good. And you know what else doesn't suck?
What else?
Them dogs.
That didn't take long at all.
I was Rob, just thinking, oh my goodness.
It's like it gets earlier and earlier with every episode.
Yeah, just go ahead and assume, everybody watching us, that he's already talking about his dogs before we even come close to start hitting the record button.
Yeah.
Because you know it's true.
Yeah, it is. But, even if they weren't my team, I was telling Ian earlier, they're above and beyond this year.
They really look good. They really do.
We'll see. Rob, I see some holes in their game, but then I see holes in a lot of teams' game. What I saw in the Tennessee, obviously we just got derailed. What I saw in the Tennessee Georgia game,
we do that sometimes.
Yeah, what I saw in the Tennessee Georgia game was the same team Georgia was, say 5-10 years ago against Bama, which is a team maybe more talented, maybe better coached, maybe a better team in general, but not ready to win that game against that team. And because how many times did Georgia run up against Bama with the better team and bounce? Number of times I can think of. And so that's what I saw in that game. Plus, it didn't help that, it was between the hedges, right? And, home field matters in NCAA football a lot.
Only 137 decibels and set the record. So that's.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Tennessee is on the rise. I think Josh Heupel is really, really turning a corner with that program. And that's, it's Tennessee. They're a name brand program. It's good for college football when they're up, as much as you hate to say it if you don't like them. Looking at you, Kevin Eikenberry, not a Tennessee guy, that one.
And I will say this, if I'm a quarterback coming out of high school, there are a lot of programs I might look at. And then I might look at Tennessee next because, if you think you've got a chance to go to the play on Sundays, Heupel's done some good things with quarterbacks, and you got some nice help there from some of the alumni, notably Peyton.
Lincoln, very Lincoln Riley-esque, that guy, it would seem, but not quite ready for primetime, as we saw last Saturday. So I'd be remiss, not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but those guys right there. Boat racing our arch rivals by 42 points in their own house. Talk about freaking punching you in the face, taking your lunch money, and then leaving with your girl. Like, it was beautiful. Oh, it was awesome. Many beers were consumed in the Malone house on Saturday night. Many beers indeed.
Well, let's talk about the Lawrence High School kid playing for KU and getting like 334 yards of total offense. And
yeah,
I wasn't sure I was ever going to be able to say this ever again. KU is bowl eligible.
Yeah, crazy stuff, man. About them Hawks. So, well, folks, as you can tell, this is somewhat of kind of a loosey-goosey edition of the show, to borrow a catchphrase from another show friend of mine who does this sort of thing. We really don't have a whole lot planned for tonight. You know, normally we fill you guys up with guests and topics and stuff. And honestly, we talked about it and we noodled around some ideas. And in the interest of Thanksgiving, we're just here to kind of talk about the things that we're thankful for. You know, it's been a fun year on a lot of levels, from sports to writing. And we just kind of thought we'd take a little bit of time to kind of reflect on that and share some laughs and just kind of keep it cash tonight. So this is kind of what you got. And we'll break down the latest happenings from CKP coming up in a little while. Lots to get to in CKP this week. Folks, if you don't get the mailing list from Chris, like, you're really missing out. You seriously need to go do that. I'm not pitching that because he's my sponsor. I'm pitching that because that freaking newsletter is chock full of lots of cool stuff, especially on weeks like this week. So we'll get to all that here later. But guys, you know, kind of getting back to the theme of the night, you know, before we get into that, I do kind of want to kind of go round robin with you guys and give updates on books and event schedules and stuff like that. Obviously, that's what a lot of folks like to catch this show for, is to know what's going on with us as writers. And they like all the other stuff because it's just kind of a look into who we are as people. But we write and they want to know about that. So Rob, I'll start with you, man. What's happening in the world of Rob Howell? What's happening in the world of New Mythology Press? What's the news?
Well, a lot of news here in my world. I mean, travel-wise and event-wise, I've got a bunch of stuff coming up between now and the middle of December. I'm headed out to 20 Books Thursday. I'm excited to go to Vegas and spend some time with a lot of great writers, learning a bunch of stuff. I've looked at the schedule. It's going to be a blast. I'm going to do a little bit of, I'm going to call it networking. Yeah. One of the things I'm looking forward to is I'm getting a chance to cross playing D&D with a Gygax off my bucket list, as I've got a couple of games scheduled with Luke Gygax. That's really exciting for me. And yeah, you know, get a chance to meet more people. When we get back, there's Thanksgiving. The week after Thanksgiving, there's a gaming convention here in Kansas City that I'm selling at. Week after that is an SCA convention I'm selling at. So a lot of stuff going on. We've got a release coming out on the 22nd, Responsibility of the Throne. This is book two of Scott Huggins' Endless Ocean series, and I really enjoyed reading it, and I'm enjoyed both books now. He's a hell of a writer.
I love Scott Huggins. Ever since we duetted on the CKP party bus down to the Aviator Brewing Company at Fantasy a couple of years, singing A-Hole from Dennis Leary at the top of our lungs. Scott Huggins will forever. Special place right here, that one.
Well, that just tells you what kind of a writer he is, too.
Anyway, please do continue.
So one of the big shifts that's happening is that I'm stepping away from the Elder's Legacy project. The people who are running the other four founders, they want to take it over and make a new publishing company out of it. And I wholeheartedly support their decision. There are a lot of advantages to that for them.
Okay.
The problem is I've only got so many spoons. And if I'm going to keep writing and I'm going to keep publishing with Chris – and I owe it to Chris to do a good job and continue to do a good job for him. I'm going to stay with Chris, and I'm going to take what I've written that was connected to the Elder's Legacy and bring it around. And over the early part of 2023, I'm going to be reissuing a bunch of my stuff with probably new covers and new edits and some changes, some slight changes. It's time to refresh my personal brand of stuff, especially since that, you know, one of the great things over this past year, I edited somewhere around 2 million words of stuff over this year, somewhere close to that. And I learned a lot. And my writing is now, I've got over 1 million words that I have written. And I think it was Arthur C. Clarke that said, you know, you write 1 million words and then you don't suck, or don't suck as much. And I am ecstatic about where my writing is and redoing that. I was talking about refreshing Lake Most Deep a bit ago. That's why. It's all part and connected to it. So Expect some big announcements of how and what I'm going to do with this world. I'm even going to break something here. I haven't even announced it yet to anywhere else. It's not on social media. I'm not going to do that until I get everything quite ready. But I'm going to rename my world the Firehall Sagas. And Ooh. That's what's going to come out. And we're working on a new logo. We're working on a new website, stuff like that. So I'm excited about the changes. The Elder's Legacy folks are awesome. I think it's a really good project. I hope they continue it and succeed in it. Just there's always so much I can do. And with what they want to do with it and what I want to do, there was a bit of a fork in the road. So
yeah, man.
There we go.
We've all been there, man. You know, everybody needs a break from time to time to go do creatively what, you know, take the direction and the path that they want to do. And that's why there's lots and lots and lots of cool books out there from lots of different authors for lots of audiences, because that's what we do. We crank it out. So, yep, I feel
so
you,
man. Go buy the Elder's Legacy books. They're good. I'm proud of what we did there. But also come over and buy my stuff in the Firehall Sagas and, you know, buy all the other stuff. We've got a new Chris Noddall book I'm working on that should be out fairly early in 2023. That's Pandora's Box. That's coming after his Chimera Coop. And it's quite, we're going to have audio on that. Podium picked up the rights on that and is putting that out fairly quickly for all the stories in that. We've got more coming from Trish Wooldridge. We have a number of other writers you don't know. Oh, and let's not forget, end of this month is the closing of the open call submissions for Bonds of Valor, the fourth Book of Valor anthology, which will be released at Fantasy.
Okay.
So lots of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Some of us need to start that story. That would be good to.
Yeah. It would be. Yes. Yeah. That's a thought. Hmm. But, you know, hey, George is going to play a game this week, so we wouldn't want to get in the way of that.
Of course not. No, sure. I joke about that. But when I sit down to do a short story, seriously, I can do one in 3 days.
I know. And that's why that's why I'm giving you crap about it. Because I know how fast you write. And frankly, for a number of the writers that are in, you know, that are already in, you know, that I've invited, you know, one of the nice things dealing with professionals is that, okay, I got to get a story out. I got a week. I can do it. Yeah. Start to finish. And I can match the thing and it'll be good quality and it's edited and all those sorts of things. I can do it. You can do it. Ian can do it. We all can do it.
Yep.
It's a nice thing to be able to do when needed.
Yeah. And it's something we all work towards to learn to do. It's not something that came automatic. That is.
No, it's not.
You know.
Yeah. Kev, what's going on with you, man? How's things in CKPI? How's things in Salvage? Wow. Ooh, a little tease of what's to come in the halftime segment. Salvage is on a buck deal this week, is it not?
Yeah, 99 cents right now. So,
dude, I need to make a note. I'll throw a link to that in the show notes. So,
yeah, that was a big deal because that was an Amazon thing that came down. You know, they did that.
All right.
And they wanted to do it. They put it on some specials for a week. They did that. So,
how long, when is it on special till? Can you say that?
I want to say it was like 5 days, you know, starting yesterday. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah, we got 4 or 5 days left of that.
Okay.
And it's doing well. It's doing pretty good. And then it's uptick on the other books too because people are reading through or what have you.
Yes.
So that's good. But I'll be Sunday, I fly to Vegas and I'll be at Vegas for a week. And then I got to catch the red eye coming back that Friday because Saturday before Thanksgiving is when I do the family thing down there in Phenix City, Alabama with the big crowd. So I got to get back in time for that. CKPI is rolling. We've passed 100 books in Germany. We've got the third and the first trilogies coming out in Spanish here this in a few weeks. And we've just really kicking off French. And that's going to be the next language, and we're really, really getting into that now. So
we
got to put our team together. So now we got three different teams doing all this, and it's a juggling act, but it's you know, it's all part of it. So
sure. Let me know when you start translating them into Latin. I'll help with that one.
Well, it's only going to be where they have a KU. If they don't have Kindle Unlimited, we're not hitting it. So that's the rule. But, you know, I finalized everything. I'll be in confinement, which is in Lebanon, Tennessee, in February. So that'll be going on.
Okay. That's right and outside of Nashville. Right?
Just east of Nashville, yeah, on 40. got a Liberty Con's coming up, Fantasize coming up, and then, you know, typical stuff. I think also in March I'm going to do Tupelo Con. Thank God they moved it from July to March because it's super
hot.
What
weekend is that?
I don't know. I'm going to have to pull it up and look, but it's a good con to go to. So,
and that's where again?
Tupelo.
Okay.
Yeah, Tupelo, Mississippi. So,
cool, man. Well, all is well down in Florida. It's a nice balmy 84 degrees out today. So I'm supposedly we're going to get some cool weather that's going to blow through here this weekend on account of the storm that's coming in on the east side of the coast. So kind of looking forward to that. I'm ready to put on a big pot of chili, maybe some stew. So a buddy of mine that just did some hunting during bow season got me hooked up with some deer meat. So good venison stew may be on the pot for me here sometime soon. Trying to think of what else is going on. I mean, as far as the book front, you know, I've been on a little bit of a hiatus since I turned in Argonaut. That one took a lot out of me.
That is a hell of a book, people.
Well, I'm ready for it to get there, man. It'll be out in March. I believe, don't hold me to this, but I want to say it's going to be the weekend before Fantasy. You know, things move and shake at CKP. You know, Chris sometimes has to shuffle some things around, but March, I know, is kind of when it's slated for. So anyway, just kind of downshifting a little bit coming off of that and starting to kind of eyeball what my options are. And, you know, folks, if you ever wanted to interact with me on stories and stuff, now's a great time. You know, I'm noodling around some things in the Makoverse, noodling around some things in the 4HU, noodling around some ideas and some other properties and stuff that I've written in. You know, I've got a thought for, you know, something in Fallen World that I can talk to Chris Woods about. I have no idea. I mean, I could go any number of ways. Could write something completely and totally new. No clue. But I'm just kind of open to see where the winds take me. Right now, I'm worried about just getting through the holidays. We got a lot of family coming in. You know, one thing about being on the beach, you're never short of visitors. People love to come hang out at your house.
I'll be right over.
Yeah. You got the double whammy going on, though, Ian.
Oh, hey.
Not only are you at the beach, you got a pool in the backyard. So
I do. I have a screened-in pool in the backyard, which now has two beautiful Sylvester palm trees. Right. Just off the corner of the lot. We had those bad boys installed this week and they look exquisite. So yeah, we have the full blown tropical Floridian thing going on between the palms and the pool. I got a citrus garden over on the right side of my yard with blood oranges, lemons, key limes, grapefruits. So yeah, I can, if you want to do the Floridian coastal Floridian thing, I can accommodate now.
Sitting around the pool, you know, getting good booze and drinking good booze. And yeah, that's not a bad plan.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, listen, we're Nick Steverson and I were actually bouncing texts about this earlier on today when we were chatting a bit about LibertyCon. You know, Panama City, where I'm at, would be a great, you know, we love Pensacon. All right. He and I did Pensacon last year. We will most definitely do Pensacon again next year. Pensacon is a fantastic con. I think Panama City would be a great spot for something about that speed. But the problem that this town has right now is they don't have a venue that can host it. Their civic center was trashed in Hurricane Michael. They're just now getting around to trying to figure out what they're going to do with that, because between battling FEMA and battling contractors, everything shutting down during the pandemic, there was a lot of stuff around here that they didn't get a chance to start rebuilding on after it was smacked in the face by a Cat 5 hurricane.
Yeah, so, not enough contractors to go around.
Yeah. So, you know, the Civic Center is one of those things that they're just now trying to figure out what they're going to do, whether they're going to rebuild what they've got left of the one that they had, or whether they're going to, you know, start over from scratch and build something. And in the event that, you know, that happens, either case, you know, I've really tried to make some inroads, and you guys who follow me on social media know this. You know, I've been trying to do a lot of stuff here on the local level just to be able to kind of lay the groundwork for being a part of something like that one day when the time comes. So I say all of that to say, if one day we are fortunate enough to have a con in gorgeous Panama City on the St. Andrews Bay, after party at Ian's house around the pool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, full barbecue and beer.
I would think that would be something the city would welcome during the off season. I think that would be, you know what I mean?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Look, sometime, I mean, maybe late September, first of October. You're right in between Dragon Con, but you're not quite yet at Thunder Beach, which is a huge biker rally that happens here in mid-late October.
We played that.
You know, somewhere along that. Or if you wanted to shift up to maybe around Veterans Day weekend, that would probably be a good thing. And you're sandwiched right between Dragon Con in Atlanta and Pensacon in Pensacola. So,
you know. Yeah, I mean,
the weather's gorgeous.
My preference for places like Panama Beach is to go during off times. I'm not a big fan of going to the big trendy places during the peak times. Cause man, that's way more people than I want to deal with on a,
Well, what you find out when you spend some time here, and Kevin can back me up on this, Panama City is a completely different animal than Panama City Beach. When you cross over the Hathaway Bridge, you're in another world. It's tourist central for anybody who spent time around Myrtle Beach. You know what I'm talking about. When you come into Panama City, you're in a small town, a small little coastal town on the Gulf Coast of Florida. And it's awesome. I love it. St. Andrews, the area where we had Lasers and Loggers, I've had a chance to really get to know a lot of the other stuff in that area. God, if I could go back and put that event somewhere else, I would do it in a heartbeat, because there are places not far from there that would be much more conducive to an event like that and a lot more scenic. St. Andrews Bay, that whole area is just beautiful, and it's locals year round. It's locals. You'd love it, Rob. I'll take you there if you ever come visit one day.
When you find out the local restaurants, not the tourist restaurants, and that's some really good eating.
Oh, dude, man. Shrimp and grits at Alice's on Bayview. Get you a nice hot cup of coffee from Amavita right there. A little local beanery right there on the bay. You know, your feet can go stick to the floor at the Salty Hobo, which is a dive. And then finish it out.
Your marketing may need work.
Oh, dude, it's for those of us who love a sticky dive bar.
Yeah,
this is that on the water.
Yeah.
So, what's the name of it?
It's called the Salty Hobo, and it's a pit, but it's a pretty cool pit to go hang out. Then there's a spot right around the corner from that called Uncle Ernie's. It's a nice place to get a good plate of food. It's a little pricey, but they have a back deck that will give you the prettiest sunsets in Bay County. It's literally right on the bay, overlooking the bay. You're sitting up on a second story, and when you get dusk, man, it's gorgeous up there. And this time of year, it's beautiful, because when the sun starts to set, you're looking at 69, 68 degrees. Gorgeous stuff. So this is the time of year when I really do love living back in Florida, man. It's awesome. It's starting to cool off just a little bit because you're in North Florida instead of South Florida. So you can get some jeans and boots weather, and it's good stuff. So anyway, now that I've completely sold the idea of a convention in my new hometown, we'll get that running. But so I'm kind of in the mark to get through the holidays and then get busy writing on something. And I'm not quite sure yet what that's going to be. So, ye listeners, if you got thoughts on that, feel free to shoot me an email, dudesinhyperspace@gmail.com, or track me down on the Facebook or the Twitter, where I still am. I'm looking around and I'm not seeing much difference in Twitter. So I'm still there.
I don't know. I've sort of been enjoying Elon Musk play with mice.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a character, that one. Listen, jokes and all of that aside, I know we're getting off track here, but it's that episode, whatever, just go with it. I still see all the same people on Twitter that I always saw before. Like, I don't see people getting throttled or dismissed, or like, I still see all the same people. And some folks that I haven't seen or heard from in quite a long time are now starting to show up in my feed. So it's cool. There are a lot of aspects of Twitter that I like. I mean, and you guys who follow me know, for me, Twitter, it's just, when you're sight impaired, a platform that's built on text, kind of where it's at. You know, I mean, Twitter is by far the easiest social network for me to use from my phone with a speech reader. It just is.
Yeah, I use it. I stay all over the sports with it, and everything from NASCAR to dang, you know, whatever, baseball, it's all there.
Go ahead. Sorry.
All I was going to say is it's just so much easier for me on a lot of levels, it's just easier to access with a speech reader on a phone. But the thing I love about it is just so much easier to tag all of you guys. You know, when we're talking about authors and stuff on Facebook, like some of these guys use personal profiles, some of them use author pages, some of them aren't even there at all. And, you know, when we're trying to like share each other's book covers and new releases and stuff like that, ideally, the goal is you want to be able to tag those folks so that Rob Howell knows, hey, you know, Ian Malone just tagged me on a shared information about my new book. Here's the post. You can like it, help to kind of boost it up the algorithm, and hopefully people actually see it. It's difficult to do that on Facebook now because of just how tribal it's become with groups and everything else. Twitter is still Twitter, still Twitter. A tweet is a tweet is a tweet. It's either locked or it's not. And when you share it and you tag people, away you go. It's easy. I like easy. Easy makes me happy.
I'm finding myself go more and more to Twitter from Facebook. I mean, Twitter, I'll still read. A part of it is because some of the best sports writing out there is done on Twitter via. I mean, it's been a place for analytics guys to go out and put up their theories in a much more open and conversational way to get in, you know, so the analytics guys start arguing over an esoteric thing, and I'm like, I've learned a ton via that. Yeah. And you get things like Duke Manyweather and Willie Anderson, two offensive line people, talking about the intricacies of offensive line play that I never had a clue of. And I'm getting to watch them talk about, you know, the step and the glide and all of these things. And I love that I can get these kinds of tidbits. I mean, I'm never going to be an expert in any of these things, but it does inform my viewing of baseball or of, you know, whatever sport I watch so that I can look at a prospect in like a Georgia game and go, well, maybe that prospect can do this and this. They're going to struggle on that.
Well, beyond sports, it's just where you watch topical issues. You know, whether it's, I love following Kevin J. Anderson. Kevin J. Anderson is a great follow on Twitter at the KJA. We had him on this show. Great dude. Great follow. He tweets a lot about obviously his books, but he also tweets about his cats. He tweets about his hiking. He tweets about he was standing in Starbucks the other day and the music was pissing him off. He's like, why would anybody listen to this trash? It was hysterical. He tweeted about it. So, you know, just little things like that are fun. But, you know, the way you can index content, you know, like all of my author friends, I built a list that has nothing but those people on it. So when I want to go find out what's going on in Bookland, I go to that list and I've got everything right there in one spot. Same thing for sports, same thing for news, same thing with friends and family. Same thing with local stuff happening around town. If I'm looking for information, I can go there. But now, having said all of that, all you people who love me on Facebook, I'm not going anywhere. I still post a lot of the same stuff on FB that I do on Twitter. That won't change. So, you know, I try and cover it for everybody.
But I do find, I mean, in some ways, it's odd, the differences. But I think I may try and do a push to really start getting my numbers up in terms of followers on Twitter. I'm only at about 500, 450, something like that. And part of it is I've never really tried to push it. I may start saying that's where I'm going to be more often. Because like I say, I'll scroll on that, but I hardly ever scroll anything on Facebook. If it's not in my notifications or the first thing I see, I probably didn't notice it.
Yeah. I have a hard time finding a lot of things on Facebook. It seems like it's always changing, whether you're talking about the interface from the mobile app or the interface from the desktop. Like, I'm forever losing stuff. You know, where do I find my groups? How do I find those feeds? Oh, now I can't share this because it's got me acting as my page instead of my profile. But now I'm in a group, which is private, so I can't use the page, but I can use my personal profile.
Yeah,
I don't want to use the personal profile. I want to use the page. It's just sad.
I'd have left Facebook completely ages ago if it hadn't been for the fact that I do, you know, post stuff on it.
Yeah. Well, listen, older readers are on Facebook in droves, you know, and unless you're writing YA, where you should be on Instagram or God forbid that other one that starts with T. You know, I mean, you got to be on Facebook. You have to. Nothing has changed about that. It sucks, but it is the way of the world if you want to sell books.
So let me get to something I am thankful for, which it really isn't social media. I can't really stand it, but I am thankful.
Segway, brother.
Yeah, well done. I think we've beaten that horse just a little bit. And, you know, it's been, it was dead about 5 minutes ago. I'm thankful that I get guys like you that I can talk sports about, and we can yell and scream at each other and have a good time. Ranting over sports is a blast. Yeah. And so I'm thankful to you guys that I can rant at sports here. I'm thankful to the people I rant at sports about at cons or at SCA events. It's fun. Yeah. I enjoy that, you know, pick a team. I don't care what it is. Stick to your team. Root for them. Cheer for them on your, you know, cheer for your fantasy players. Have a great time. Talk about how your guys are the best. You know, Kevin and his, you know, just
they
in.
Are the best.
Kevin
they are the
likes
best.
Georgia. He likes the Bulldogs and he likes the Falcons. You may not, and he also likes the Braves. You may not have realized this. He's subtle about it, but I like that. So I'm thankful for all the buddies I get to talk about sports with.
Kev, how about you, man? What you thankful for in 2022?
Honestly, I'm thankful to be above the ground.
Yeah.
Because it was a close call this year.
Yeah.
Really, I joke about it and I'm sometimes flipping about it, but it was days.
Yeah.
You know, when you got a 90% plus blockage in what they call the Widowmaker and they catch it because you go in for that. Yeah. That was attitude change when he saw that. You know, I was twilighted and they were looking, we're just going to take a look and see what we see. And then he said one word in the whole room, the attitude changed. And then when I woke up later, that's when they let me know, hey, this is what we had to do. This is what went down. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I'm thankful to be on this side of the dirt.
I hear you. We're rather thankful for that too, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
That being said, you got to laugh at death. I mean, you're surviving it. I mean, there's nothing else you can do, right? You got to, that's where, dark humor exists for a reason.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm no stranger to dark humor after 21 years in the military because it's how you cope. You know?
Oh, yeah. So. All right, Ian, how about you? What are you thankful for?
I have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I'm thankful to be back in Florida, thankful to be home. Got to go home to my parents' house and spend a weekend eating good old fashioned mama cooking and all that good stuff and watch college football with my old man and have some of those moments again, you know, being gone for 12 years. And it's not like those went away, but I mean, they live 10 hours away and they're in their 70s and 10 hour drives are just not what they used to be for those guys. And I can't drive. So, you know, having them much closer now and being able to spend those times with my sister and her kids and, you know, friends over in Tallahassee that I've missed, catching up with old buddies and going to rock shows over in Pensacola. Like, it's been great to do that this year. You know, from a writer standpoint, I know we touched on it earlier and we keep teasing you guys with it. I've teased you about it for damn near a year. I'm really grateful for the opportunity that this guy and this crazy idiot in the Georgia hat gave me to come write and salvage. You know, writing Last Argonaut was a very big challenge on a lot of levels. But I honestly don't know that there's a book I've written that I'm prouder of. It was, you know, at a time when, frankly, I just think everybody needs a feel-good story, man. It is that and then some. And it does a lot of things, but when I finally closed out the file and saved it and got ready to drop it into the email, I kind of sat back in my chair and just thought about the journey that has been creating that story. And I was just really proud of it. So, you know, regardless of how it sells when it drops in March, you know, I hope you guys really like it. And you can know right here and right now, I mean, that story came from the heart on a lot of levels. So I hope you guys really like it. But I'm grateful for the opportunity that I had to make it a reality. You know, I'm grateful that Kevin and Nick came to me and said, listen, you're a sports guy. You've got sports writing experience. We need a story told that kind of takes this thing to the world. And we think you can do it and tell a compelling story. So, you know, I'm glad it seems like we succeeded in that endeavor, and I hope you guys like it. Yeah, other stuff that I'm happy for. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they're going to love it. So it's that good.
Cool. Well, and I want to just add a blanket thanks. I'm thankful to all the readers just in general. Yeah. And I'm not even talking necessarily that readers are my stuff. I'm just talking thanks for reading stuff because I like to read. It means more cool stuff coming out. I get to write more cool stuff coming out for me. Thanks to people who read stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. One other thing that I'm very happy for, and this is a much more trivial deal, but I just found it out this past weekend and it blew me away with excitement, and so I'm sharing because I'm a nerd. Paramount Plus has resurrected Behind the Freaking Music as a streaming series. Get some, Paramount Plus! I love Behind the Music back in the day. They got Huey Lewis in the News. They got LL Cool J. A whole bunch of different folks from back in the day. I think they've got 17 new episodes up, and then they've got another six or seven of storytellers. So for old school Gen Xers like me who used to love that stuff back in the 90s, it's back. I thought that was pretty freaking cool, so I thought I'd share. Behind the Music was awesome, dude. They even got the same guy voicing it.
Do you follow on YouTube the Professor of Rock?
I do not.
You need to. Both okay. of you. This dude, he gets behind everything, you know, 70s legends, story behind the greatest classic rock, one-hit wonders, five forgotten 80s songs. You know, I mean, he just, this is what he does. How a legendary 70s rock band created a song, you know, it scared the hell out of their guitarist.
Right.
I mean, he just, yeah. And everybody does interviews with him. He has access to everybody because he is literally a professor of rock, and he's really intelligent with his questions, and he just...
Professor of Rock that. On YouTube. I'll have to go find that.
There's some neat rock. Stuff there.
That'll be very cool.
And it's you guys will enjoy it.
Cool. Oh, I'm also thankful for Ross Chastain giving me the coolest moment I've seen in NASCAR in 25 years. Kevin, did you see that at Martinsville?
Yes.
The Hail Melon. That was the craziest crap I've seen in 25 years.
That was the one where he skidded along the side of the wall.
He used the laws of physics.
Literally, you can go faster.
His car to the wall. Stop. Okay, so on a short track, just so everybody listen, on a short track, you're talking max speeds on a straightaway 110 to 115-ish, about 112. And on the curves, they're doing 85 to 95. He stomped it like he was at a dang large track and zipped around everybody like it was a video game doing 180.
Yeah. Yeah, he stuffed it into the fence, stood on the gas, and shot around the track and stole the five positions he needed to advance to the championship four race.
He literally flipped the car along the wall, throwing sparks because it could not spin out. It could not slam into the wall. He was already there, and he just stomped it.
Yep.
I saw a great video of a bunch of people watching, a bunch of the other drivers and crew watching him do that at the time. And their disbelief in what was happening. I thought that was pretty fun. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. Even I, not a racing guy, I saw that and was pretty impressed. It was really neat how he got himself onto the wall without actually impacting the wall and managed to then use it as a leverage.
Yep.
Oh my God. It was a video game move.
It was but I mean, dude, it took some serious balls to pull that off. I mean, I put out on Twitter, I'm like, I don't know how that man climbed out of his car with those giant freaking watermelons swinging between his legs. Good Lord. How did he not trip all over the track? He's known as the Melon Man because his parents are watermelon farmers. The joke there. But yeah, it was very cool. Real quick, guys, I do have one other topic I want to address before we get off the call tonight. But before we do that, take a little pause. All right. I want to go back and talk about our friends at Chris Kennedy Publishing. It's a new release, big time this week from the Four Horsemen universe. It's always big times when either Mark Wandry or Chris Kennedy puts out a new 4-H-U book. And this week in particular, it is Mr. Wandry, brand new book in the 4-H-U called Blood in the Water. And Rob, what can you tell me about that, man?
5 years ago, a group of human researchers and their mercenary friends helped evacuate 26 cetaceans from Earth just ahead of their arrest. The world government didn't approve of their giving the cetaceans pin plants and wanted to euthanize the dolphins and orcas in their care. After finding a home on the distant ice-covered ocean world of hoarfrost, the humans and cetaceans settled in. Less than a year later, they were attacked when the planet's previous owners, the aquatic Selroth, tried to regain possession of it. During the battle, Terry Clark was responsible for inadvertently uplifting the cetaceans, who then came to the aid of the humans and helped defeat the Selroth. Accidentally. The Botcha and the Killsha, as they are now known, have lived a quiet life on Hoarfrost for the last 4 years, learning what it means to be an intelligent species, while Terry has learned the life of a mercenary. But when they're forced to give up Hoarfrost, Terry and his merc company will have to determine where they're going to go and how they're going to get the massive cetaceans to their new home. Unfortunately for them, they aren't being forced to leave the planet so much as they're being targeted for elimination. Ancient, infinitely wise, and powerful forces have discovered them, and they are out for blood.
Booyah. Now, other new stuff happening at CKP this week, and I am particularly excited about this because I'm an audio nut. Smuggler's Run from Christopher Woods and William Joseph Roberts in the Salvage Title universe is finally out. This is the one you guys hear us reference all the time on this show. Van Hagar, the smuggler, the Guinness Book of World Records for pop culture references. Like, this is,
and I took him down.
And it is. So finally out for those of us who've been waiting for this one on audio. Finally out. Smuggler's Run, Salvage Title Universe, courtesy of William Joseph Roberts and Christopher Woods. Go get you some. And I already have that one on my Audible queue now. So really excited to crack that one. Budget books, guys. Freaking A. Like, there's just too many to name in this little segment here. So what I'm going to tell you to do is go to CKP, the factory floor on the Book of Faces, and check it out. I know Cherry Drop from PA Pyatt is out there. Salvage Title, we touched upon. It's a buck this week. Yeah. There's also been a couple of other books out there. Uplink Squadron, where Kennedy had a sale this week. So it's a big week for budget reads. Again, all of that is available in CKP, the factory floor. So make sure you go on the Facebook group, check that out, and you can find out everything you want about those, get you some free reads. And then finally, Launch Team readers are needed for an act of aggression. That's a brand new book in the Terran Space Project series, book 3, in fact, from Alex Rath. So make sure you go check that out. I can actually vouch for that one. We recorded an episode of CKP Confidential last month with Alex doing a reading from that one, and some good stuff. Then finally, one last thing I mentioned at the top, but I do want to mention again, you young adult urban fantasy people, go to the International Association of Science Fiction and Fantasy Authors. That's IASFA, IASFA.org. Make sure you sign up for their mailing list. Again, big YA urban fantasy giveaway this month. Make sure you check in on that. So we can't have a Thanksgiving episode without talking about Thanksgiving food. Like, come on. Food is kind of one of the things that we do well on this show. Am I wrong? We talk about some food here. We like food.
Yes, we do.
You know?
Yes, we do.
We like some food. So, Kevin, I'm going to start with you, man. Give me the ideal Thanksgiving menu. Run it down, man. What are we looking at?
It's okay. So typically people give a menu in the name of a meat, maybe two meats. But I can't do that.
Okay.
This is a family thing we go to. My sister-in-laws are there. My kids come up. Nick comes up. Keisha comes up. Everybody shows up. So there will be ham, turkey, Boston butt, wings, sausage balls. I mean, all the meats are there. And then you name the vegetable that you've ever heard of at Thanksgiving, it will be there. Everything is there.
Quick question on the sausage balls. Quick question on the sausage balls. Talk to me about breading on the sausage balls. Do you guys do a lot of that? Like, what's your take on that?
She uses it's my wife's aunt. She uses Ritz crackers. She crumbles up to become the breading within the sausage balls.
Money. That's money.
Yeah. So, it's a little different flavor than your typical saltines, and she doesn't use bread per se, but Ritz crackers is a way to go with that.
If she wishes to share that recipe, feel free to drop that in my email. Dude, freaking anything with Ritz crackers is awesome, man.
Yeah, so I mean,
sausage and Ritz crackers. I mean, come on, dude. What are we talking about here?
Now, my son Nick comes up, and like, he's ready to fight people over the corn casserole because when Stacy makes that, he's like, you know, the rice and the yellow corn and the yellow rice and. Yeah, he's ready to fight over that. So,
all right.
And then there's more desserts. I mean, I can't have all the desserts like I used to. So I get a sliver of several different kinds instead of big old pieces like I used to do. But
all right. What's on the dessert menu?
Oh, everything from peanut butter cake to the red velvet cake to about six different kinds of cookies. There's a 9-layer German chocolate cake. There, it just goes on and on. So,
all right. Big cake people. Cake people. That's noted.
Yeah, Stacy makes them. I mean, I Rob, you've had some of her cakes, have you not?
Oh, yeah, the peanut butter cake she made was amazing. And I'm not even a big fan of, I like peanut butter on its own, but it's just like, damn, this is amazing.
It was pretty. Talking about the stuff she had at Lasers and Loggers?
Yes.
Yeah, and also at FactoryCon.
Yeah, that was balls free, man. That's solid stuff right there. How about the beverage menu at the Steverson Thanksgiving? What are we looking at? We Arnold Palmer people.
No, it's gonna be your tea, sweet tea,
okay,
and then four or five different drinks, the soft drinks and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But, you know, there's no Kool-Aid or anything like that. Tea holds sway in the household. So
now what time of day are we talking about for a Thanksgiving cuisine at the Steversons? We lunch people, dinner people?
Yeah, between 12 and 2 is when it hits. So they'll give us a time. You know, we might snack a little bit for breakfast. Nobody eats a big breakfast that morning because we're all waiting.
All right.
And then, you know, we tear it up between 12 and 2. And there's always plenty for us just eating because it seems like all the cooks have been sampling as they go. So when it comes time to eat, they don't get a big plate.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Because they've been eating as they go, and we tear it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Rob, let's talk to you, man. Let's talk about the Howl House. Tell me about Thanksgiving.
In different shift here is because he's got this, you know, this passel of like 89 people that come over for his holiday. For us, one year at Christmas, we had 10. It was the largest holiday I'd been to in ages. I mean, we really just don't have a big family. So usually it's like 5 or 6 people. So we don't have, even if everybody makes one thing, we don't have that huge selection. But we do some things. So often we get a turkey, sometimes not. I'm a big ham and brisket guy, so I always have ham and brisket, and sometimes I have turkey. Because what I really like about turkey isn't turkey on Thanksgiving. It's cold turkey on bread and butter with salt and pepper. That's one of my favorite sandwiches. And, of course, the turkey soup later on, which my wife really likes soup. So we have meat. Sometimes we have other kind of meats because sometimes it's – like one year we just said, screw it. We want – ribeyes, so we had big thick ribeyes and had that instead of turkey, and had, you know, some ham on the side. And now I'm pretty particular about my mashed potatoes. They have to have the skin on.
Okay.
They have to have about 80 times the normal regular dose of garlic, a hint of salt, a ton of butter, and then done it up so that it's they're still a little lumpy, because I basically want the innards of a baked potato all mashed together. Yeah, and that's what I love, and a lot of pepper I put on it. Not as much as I want, but I have to match other people.
Random question, and this is not off topic. Do you like veggie cream cheese, like on bagels, toast, anything like that?
Well, I eat cream cheese. What do you mean by veggie cream cheese? Like something like an herb cream cheese?
Yeah, you just buy it at the supermarket. It's like
Sure. You know, there's some really good herb ones. I'm not a big fan of like the sweet cream cheeses.
That's fair. No. Veggie cream cheese. It's got scallions and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's a dill one that we can get, and there's a place here called Bagels. Name like Meshuggah Bagels, it has to have really good stuff, and they have a lot of nice choices for schmears, and it's really good bagels too.
If you want to do something a little different with your smashed potatoes one day, take your potatoes, smash them up, skin on, just like you're talking about, boil them down, skin them up, smash them down, dump in about a half to two-thirds of a container of veggie cream cheese. And then dump in your milk and your butter and all the stuff like you would normally do with mashed potatoes. And then dice up a whole bunch of scallions and dump those in there and smash all of that together.
Nice.
Dude, they're awesome smashed potatoes. I do those occasionally over here. And it's just a completely different take on mashed potatoes. People around here eat them up whenever I make them. Even Xander eats them.
Nice.
So
those will be good when you double cook them. You take those mashed potatoes and you put them in the refrigerator, and then the next morning you take them out and you flatten them and you fry it.
Yeah, that actually gives me an idea. Now you have
a crispy edge on both sides of what you just made.
Do a twice-baked potato with that recipe. Yeah. Rather than busting it all out and smashing it up, do kind of a twice-baked potato trick on that. That might be pretty good. Yeah. We're just brainstorming ideas here, guys. Just find the recipes.
So we have other things, and honestly, what ends up happening is, since basically all of us cook, we all just start getting in and throwing stuff together. Oh, we could do this, we could do that. So we never have a set thing anymore. Oftentimes for dessert, we have various pies. I usually make a butter tart pie, pie, which is sort of a family recipe. It's common in Canada, but it's not as common down here. It's one of my favorites. We usually have a cherry or an apple or both. My sweetie likes mincemeat, as does my mom, so we often have one of those. And I'm not a big pumpkin pie fan. I'm much more, hey, give me the whipped cream, and oh yeah, there's a dollop of pumpkin pie on it. That's gotcha. My version. So we often have that. I mean, it's spread through the day, right? You have your meal, and then you become the couch potato because of all the potatoes. And then later on, you come back at 6-ish and like, I can't eat another bit. Oh, yeah, I'd like 3 pieces of pie, please.
That's right. I'm going to take a little turkey sandwich action.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look, there's some leftover mashed potatoes. Well, I guess I'll have that and then have pie.
There you go. Before we go on, speaking of pie, I meant to say this earlier. My wife is allergic to pecans. She can't eat pecans. But she does the exact same recipe with walnuts. And that is the only thing that changes. And it is amazing. Because sometimes pecans have that little bitter taste occasionally. You don't find that in a walnut pie.
So a butter pie is not dissimilar to the filling of the pecan pie. It's different, but not by a lot. And there are people who will make a pecan pie up in Canada by doing the butter tart filling and then using pecans. I use raisins, but I've seen it with walnuts. I've seen it with other things as well. But it's much similar. So if she wants to try, I could send her my butter tart recipe, and she could have that sort of same thing, only with like I say, raisins really seem to go with it in my mind. Not everybody likes raisins, I know, but I really do.
Cool. How about beverages?
We usually have a bottle of wine or two. That's one of our big wine days. We don't drink wine very often. I'll have some beers. I mean, I'm cooking. Like, I'm seriously cooking. There's beers.
Yeah.
There's beers starting. Oh, it's 10 o'clock. It's time to start really doing the thing. Or the previous night. Oh, I got to throw it into the brisket into the cooker and get it going the previous night. And I'll have some beers setting that up. And, you know, one of my tricks for brisket that I always do is I always cover it in a sheath of bacon and let the bacon soak through. I don't add salt. I add a bunch of other spices. And then I add bacon on top. That's where the salt comes from for that. And it ends up, not only do you have this delicious bacon-tinged brisket, but you've got bacon.
I'm gonna need you to teach me on that one, sir.
It's really simple. I take the brisket, I put on spices, and I just lay strips of bacon on top of it, and I throw it all in the aluminum foil, and I throw it in, you know, the smoker or whatever I'm using, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to give that a shot. That sounds pretty awesome. So we do a lot of the same stuff in our house. It really does kind of vary. My dad's an avid turkey hunter. And so typically we have wild turkey. Sometimes it'll be smoked, but sometimes typically when you're dealing with wild turkey, you're just dealing with the breast, right?
Now, I'm betting you have wild turkey in a couple of different forms.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm still kind of a Buffalo Trace guy myself when it comes to the bourbon. But yeah, I like wild turkey okay. So, you know, we do wild turkey breast. My mom will cube it up like chicken nuggets and batter it up and fry it like just little nugget poppers. Nice. And it's awesome. We do the same thing with deer meat, backstrap, cube steak, that sort of stuff. We don't do it all at once. Typically that stuff will rotate out. Staples in our Thanksgiving are, obviously you're going to have a turkey of some kind. If you're not going to do fried turkey breast, somebody's going to smoke a turkey. Or Natalie's actually got a great recipe that she does in the crock pot. And first time she mentioned it, I was like, it's going to dry it out, but okay, sure. You know, if you want to do it, give it a shot. Cause it was just me and her and Xander that year for Thanksgiving. So big all out cooking, just wasn't any real need for it. And it was awesome. Like, it's super, super, super moist. She uses a bunch of different seasonings and cream of chicken soup. It's super, super herby and super good.
I might try awesome that because
sandwiches.
I've got a locking crock pot that really doesn't let any of the moisture out. So
shoot her a message on Facebook and she can send you the recipe. Yeah, I think it's super easy. It's very build a bear, you know, as long as you have all your components, you just dump it all in the crock and let the crock do the work. But it's super good, super simple. And again, super tasty, makes for great sandwiches afterward.
Nice.
Ham, we're big ham fans, always have been. I like to smoke mine. I like the profile that you get off of putting a good honey glazed ham in the smoker for about 4 hours. I'll also smoke sausage and stuff up over the top. So you get kind of the sausage drippings on top of the ham, which is never a bad deal. And then you got breakfast sausage. So that's good. pies or sides, typically we're always going to have some sort of a green bean something, whether it's green bean casserole or something of that ilk. We'll have a like a ambrosia fruit salad type of thing that we can dip and go. My mom makes fresh made bread, so we got that. Pies are always going to be in abundance. We're big pie people. Natalie makes the best apple pie I've ever had in my life. And I don't just say that because she's my wife. Like, it's the most amazing apple pie I've ever had, ever, period. We do that. She makes a really, really good sweet potato pie that was her grandmother's recipe. So there's that. Typically there might be a cake or two. My mom makes some really good brownies, so we'll have those. And then the highlight for me is always the dressing, not the stuffing, dressing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Kevin, you want to weigh in on dressing versus stuffing? You got it. You got a horse in that debate.
They make two kinds, and they make a big pan, two big pans.
Okay.
And one has onions.
Okay.
And one has onion powder. So you don't get the crunchy squeak.
They both taste similar. They both have celery.
The crunchy squeak of onions.
They both got celery in it, right?
Oh yeah, it's got all that. But it's just something about, you know, one has onion powder and one has onions. So
all right. Yeah.
And then
cornflakes.
The gravy goes over it, and it just, yeah, it's amazing.
You ever put the cornflakes over the top and give it that little bit of crunch?
No, they haven't done that, but they probably could. But
we're going to have to cut this short because I got chili, speaking of, in the crock pot, and I'm getting hungry.
Hey, real quick, Ian, next time you talk to your dad, you know, he's a big turkey hunter, right?
Yeah.
So when I call turkey, I don't need a slate. I don't need a mouthpiece. I call it by mouth. No joke.
That's them some skills.
So check this out.
Right here on the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Nowhere else will you get that kind of entertainment from your favorite writers.
Quality content here on the Dudes in Hyperspace. Oh my God.
Hashtag badass like a turkey.
Hey, listen, but you know what? You call them in and you blow them away and they're good eating.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. They really are good eating, man. God, ew. Yep, they really, really are. All righty, fellas. Well, on that note, I think I am going to go ahead and get ready to put a bow on this one so Rob can get to his chili and I can get to some other stuff that I got to do before I crash out to be up at 4 a.m.
Yuck.
I'm going to be up all night.
Told you guys this was going to be a roundabouts all over the map episode, so we hope you enjoyed it. Be sure you check us out coming up next month. We're going to have kind of our year recap and look ahead to 2023. Also have a bit of an announcement going to drop in that episode with regard to this little program right here, so be sure you stick around for that. That'll be coming up after Thanksgiving. We'll get that out to you guys. So, as always, want to shoot one final shout-out to our sponsors, Chris Kennedy Publishing, International Association of Science Fiction and Fantasy Authors. Those folks are awesome. Make sure you go support them at chriskennedypublishing.com, iaspa.org. If you want to support the podcast, you know how to do it. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever. If they let you leave 5 stars and a review, we'd really appreciate it. YouTubers, channel likes, channel subscriptions, episode likes, all that stuff. We really appreciate those. This helps to boost us up through the ranks so people can find us. If you want to shoot us a question, dudesinhyperspace@gmail.com, or find us all on social media. As noted, we're on Facebook, and yes, we're still on Twitter. So feel free to come find us there as well. For Rob Howell, for Kevin Steverson, I am Ian J. Malone, and we'll see you next time on the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.